Thank you for joining this worship service of St. Andrew Lutheran Church, as recorded on Sunday, February 24, 2019, for the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. The Old Testament reading is Genesis chapter 45 verse 3 through 11 and verse 15. The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 35 through 38 and verses 42 through 50. The Gospel acclamation is Luke chapter 6 verses 27 through 38. Presiding and preaching is Pastor Jen Collins. Assisting with worship is Pastor Gary Brandenburg. We join the service near the start of the children's message.
Stretching. And so if you're not comfortable, just do this at your own risk. But this is part of my spiritual practice, and it's called Six Postures for Morning Prayer. So what'll happen is I'll invite you to a stretch, and then I'll invite a prayer. And if you would like to add something out loud, you can. Otherwise, pray for that in your heart, and then we'll move to the next posture, okay? So the first one, we're going to have our hands way up, stretched up toward the sky, and we're going to thank God for all of the goodness of creation. Even for this blizzard. For snow. For lakes and rivers that are unfrozen. For what else in creation? The beauty of the snow on the trees. For what else?
Sunshine.
All right, I'm going to invite you to reach out. Just stretch out sideways. It's okay if you touch your neighbor. It's all right. We're a friendly place. And maybe even just rotate a little bit. For the gift of one another. For the blessing that we share as a community at St. Andrew. For people that pick us up when our car gets stuck in the snow. I'm looking at you, Phil Bickley. Thanks for having that four-wheel drive, Karen. Snow removal people, yes, they're pretty awesome. Okay, I'm going to have you reach out and just kind of cup your hands like this. For the blessings that God gives to us.
Food on the table.
Food on the table. Heat. Children, forgiveness of sins.
Family.
Our church. Lotion. Our church.
A loving partner.
Let's pray with our arms stretched across our shoulders like we're in a hug. And we'll give thanks to God for the gifts and the skills that we have been given to share with others. For a voice to sing. It's easier to think of others, isn't it? Okay, and then with this one, be careful. If you need to sit, you can sit. I'm going to invite you to touch the earth, if you can. If you can't, that's okay. She's not going to. Or touch the pew, to touch the earth. Yeah. We thank you, God, for the gift of our home, this planet. And for the gifts of our home. For a soft bed. All right, slowly stand up. Get all the creaks out. Shake it out a little bit. So thank you for participating in the children's sermon today. This is what I do sometimes when I don't know how to pray. I just stretch and move my body, and I thank God for the different ways that we connect with each other as community today. You can have a seat.
You can go to our Sunday school.
You can go to Sunday school. Steph is here, so if anybody wants to do Sunday school, you can go on with Steph. Marissa and Leanne are here, so we're going to get together. So if you want to go, have some fun. Thank you so much. We're going to have our readings now. And I don't see our readers, so I'm going to take the lead on that. And I want you to think to the story of Genesis and what you know about Joseph. So let me ask you, what do you know about Joseph?
He and Mary had a son.
He and Mary had a son. Joseph in Genesis, Helen. Who was his dad? Jacob. Guys, we got to go back to Bible 101. I'm putting you on the spot here. So Joseph was the guy who was sold by his brothers into slavery. And he was, they soaked his coat of many colors in blood and told his father that he had died. And then he went down to Egypt and he was in Pharaoh's court, first under arrest, but then he interpreted dreams and rose to a higher level of authority. In Genesis 45, our reading for today, we have a story of reconciliation. So think about this particular story in light of the fact that they had just, this whole family system had just been through all of that. This is a reading from Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came to each other. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land for 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have, I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians. You'll hear some language in here that's a little bit confusing. Paul is talking about the first man, who is Adam, and the second man, who is Christ. So when you hear first man, Adam, from the book of Genesis, and the second man, Christ. A reading from 1 Corinthians. "But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, 'The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit.' But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. We stand together for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone who takes away your, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And this is not an interactive sermon, so rest easy. Although I suppose it could be. Let me find it here. How did you hear your way into that text? Was it something that was easy to check out during? Because it seems like kind of a longer list. Was it something you were measuring yourself against? Like, well, yeah, I do that one. I don't do that one. I got to do better there. Was it a list that perhaps you started interpreting as the marks of a good Christian? Did you hear that text as a tall order, or as something that seemed quite impossible to do? My initial response to this passage when I was reading it earlier this week was that it made me think of the way my mom cooks soup. Now, before you think I'm crazy, what I'm talking about is my mom would throw a little bit of everything in her soup, sort of like this gospel passage throws a little bit of everything at us. She would always make that drop biscuit out of Jiffy baking mix so that we had something consistent. But then she would throw in the leftover stir-fry veggies, the frozen baked beans from last summer that she needed to get rid of, the leftover chicken breast from a couple of nights ago. And then she'd freshen it up by chopping up carrots and celery. She'd add those in. And then the worst offender, the canned tomato chunks, would go in what we would dub as leftover soup. Now, whenever I would find a tomato chunk in the bowl in front of me, I would either push it to the side or just try to get rid of it into my brother's bowl or something of that nature, because I just could not stand the tomato chunks. No matter how good those tomatoes were for me, no matter how much my mom intended that soup for good, she grew up a child of someone who grew up in the Depression from Minnesota, so we were eating that soup because that was a good way of taking care of that leftover food responsibly. Sometimes the passages that we get from Scripture go down hard, and we would rather have a mouth-watering steak, some mushrooms and onions maybe. Now I'm getting really hungry. And sometimes we get a little bit of everything, and even something that we might not want to eat. To quote another preacher, goodness, Jesus, who wants to love an enemy? It's a good idea, but think about how hard that is to actually do. To love an enemy. Jesus is preaching to you that listen. To not just tolerate that enemy, to not hide from them, to not belittle them or talk negatively about them, but to love them, to turn the other cheek when confronted, to give without strings, and then to give again without strings, to pray for those who have caused you hurt, to bless those who wish you ill, to refrain from judging or condemning, which is so easy to do. In fact, I was doing it this morning when my car got stuck in the snow outside of my apartment. My neighbors were home, and they heard me pushing the accelerator, trying to get unstuck in my 2003 Camry, which I shouldn't have been driving in the snow. The garage next door lifted. They were smoking cigarettes. There were three of them, an older gentleman and two women who were about middle-aged, and they said, "What you doing there?" I said, "Well, I've got church today." He said, "Well, everybody else canceled." I said, "Well, we're at St. Andrew. We'll be there. We have church at 8 and 9:30. You're welcome to come." He's like, "Well, you should have canceled." And I said, "I know, but we made the group decision last night to have church." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he goes back in his garage and shuts the door and doesn't help me shovel out my car. And here I am getting ready to preach on "Judge not lest ye be judged." And I'm just like, what kind of neighbor does that? Especially like, I gotta live above you and now you're gonna be a jerk. And then Phil Bickley came and picked me up, which is really nice in my car. I did actually have time to get it back in the garage, which was really good. But what Jesus is asking of us is so hard because we run into these things time and time again. Doesn't matter how good you are at performing these particular tasks in the life or these marks of a Christian, you will run into this wall again, and likely soon. And when you do, it's important to remember that it is Jesus who is saying these things. This is not something that seems possible. But remember, this sermon was preached on a plane, on a level place, where Jesus was trying to undo some pretty serious things that were going on in human culture. Now, this is indeed a recipe for discipleship soup, but these people who were gathered around him probably heard it as a recipe for disaster. Because other preachers fill up stadiums with sermons like 3 Steps to Love or 5 Paths to a Better Life. But here Jesus is focusing on something perhaps that we don't want to hear, but that we know we need to hear. We know that it is good nutrition for us. Tomato chunks in soup. Love for neighbors that turn the other way. These words that Jesus is preaching, they're breaking cultural norms. So if you think about them preached into our society today, how would that fare? What would that look like? Even then, everyone knew that giving and receiving was just part of how it works. There's no such thing as a free dinner. What's in it for me? Serves her right. She's just getting what she deserves. Can you hear yourselves? Or can you hear the culture saying some of those things fairly often? Well, serves them right, that murderer, that liar. They're getting what they deserve. Serves them right, those people, that leader. Anyone who hears this text from the mouth of Jesus and has a low level of commitment will think it's probably not good news, but awful advice. But Jesus is breaking this cycle of retribution, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, no more. Instead, mercy for mercy. Mercy for mercy. That the love we receive from God is the love that we share. That's the retribution we owe each other. Because we have been loved by God. And now listen, if you are an enemy, or if you have received hatred, or if you have been the one who could not pay, or if you are the one with little support or few resources, how beautiful would it be to hear these texts, these words from Jesus, to know that, in fact, God came to die for enemies, not just love them, but to give life to them, to show them that there was a better way. Jesus is offering so much more than a to-do list or a recipe for how to be a good Christian, or the things that we might do to make us feel better, although I'm sure it would have really made my neighbors feel better if they would have helped dig me out. But what we're finding here is more than that to-do list. It's an identity, and it's about participating in the kingdom of God right here and right now, because we don't have to wait till the end of time or to heaven. We get to experience the goodness that God intends for us and the love that we share for even our enemies. Hope that turns us out to forgive and to love and to be generous. We need to do these things. We don't have to do them to be saved, but we need them to feel that measure of mercy, to be free from the toxicity which we breed among ourselves. It runs against human thinking, but it's the kingdom agenda, and that's what's so beautiful about it. It's this nourishing meal. You guys, I was home last week, and Thursday night, guess what was on the table? We had soup. We had leftover soup, and it was just as lovely as it had always been. And so I started in on the drop biscuit, and I put some butter on it with some cinnamon sugar, and I really enjoyed that. Oh, did that taste good. And then I put that soup to my lips, and it was delicious, and I loved it. And it felt so good to be tasting that soup at my mom and dad's table, and to know that it was good for me, and that my tastes had changed, and that I had grown up into an appreciation of not what I thought I wanted at the time, but what I really truly needed, and how beautiful it is that it became what I wanted. And I think that's true of the Sermon on the Plain. Even though it might be difficult for us to want to love our enemies, we know we need to. And we pray that one day, in God's good timing, that the kingdom of God will truly come among us in ways that we can perceive and feel. Thanks be to God. Amen. We are going to sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, 697. I'm going to find it on the piano. Let's see if Matthew left that here. The first verse is a little bit slow, and we might have to loop back on the chorus. But this is hymn 697, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Let's stand together.
Keep me. That was good. Good singing. Please turn to the back of your worship book and we'll share together our Apostles' Creed. Our belief. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And united as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Fill us with a spirit of generosity and care. Lead us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Show us new ways to help others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth. Grant seasonable weather for the planting and harvesting of crops. Protect farms, orchards, and gardens from damage. Bless those who till fields, those who care for livestock, and all who provide food. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for the nations, for all researchers and leaders who work to resolve complex issues, for all who teach peace and reconciliation to communities in conflict, for those affected by earthquake, drought, or storms, and all who come to their aid. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for those who lack adequate food, shelter, or access to medical care, for those unable to find gainful employment. Heal the sick and comfort the grieving, especially those who look to us, Aiden, Allie, Alice, Amy, Ashley, Babs, Bill, Brian, Kelly and Zach, Charles and Jerry, Charles, Ed, Jay, Jennifer, Jerome, Jim, Julie, Kristen, Leanne, Lynn and Dan, Maxine, Meg, Michael, Michelle, Monica, Nikki, Pam, Phil, Robin, Ron, Sari, Tom, Tony, and Zern. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly. Inspire us to be good stewards of the resources you have entrusted to us. Teach us to give freely of ourselves and to offer our lives in service. Lord, in your mercy. And with thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Even in the midst of death, give us faith to trust your promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Now receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share the peace of Christ. God's peace.
Peace be with you, Gary.
Peace be
God's
with you.
Peace.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Please be with you, Phil. Peace be with you, Gary. Peace be with you, Mark. I almost get everyone today. You can be seated, and while we set the table and have an offering, I'll share this piece that the choir was going to sing. Interestingly enough, the last time we had worship in the middle of a snowstorm, this was a piece that Pastor Craig chose to share. It was planned for today, which is just the coolest thing ever. So, In This Very Room is what it's called. Quite enough joy for one like me, and there's quite enough hope.
through the communion liturgy and just kind of trim it down a little bit so you'll be able to follow along. But let's pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated.
Bye.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace and keep you safe in the snow. Our sending song is going to be 720. We are called. Cookies, we could each have like three or four, so feel free to have some cookies before you go. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Permission to podcast the music in this service obtained from one license with license number A703757. For more information about St. Andrew Lutheran Church, please visit our website at www.salc-wausau.org. Thank you for listening, and God's blessing be with you.